this is David, and he's doing the Bible reading.
Matthew 13, verse 24 to 29. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Then where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them."
The second reading is from
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 10. "I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to taunt me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weaknesses. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong.'"
Thank you, David. I think you should do this sermon as well. You've done amazingly. Good job. Once again, my name is Jeremiah, and I'll be bringing the message this morning. As you might have noticed, our kids are playing a crucial role today, and we are privileged that God has blessed us with so many amazing young people who are taking up responsibility in the church. And we pray that God will continue to work in you and through you in Jesus' name. Can you hear me? Yeah, okay. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we want to thank you for your word is alive, it's true, it's yes and amen. Dear Jesus, we just want to pray that you will help us today, that as your word comes to us, Lord, we pray you will give us understanding, that we fall on the good grounds, to yield fruits in its hundreds in the name of Jesus. Just want to pray for both the speakers and the hearers, that you will work in us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Let me be sure. Oh, it's working. By God's grace, we will be looking at the topic, walking in his footsteps. And when I say walking in his footsteps, I want to believe we know who we are talking about. No other person than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sorry, I say something when I want to lead services or preach that. If you don't understand my accent, I've put most of what I'm saying on the screen, so you can just read and follow along. You will get 70 to 80% of what I'm saying. So, and I think that should be okay. So, walking in his footsteps. And David has done a good job by introducing us to the passage. But I want to start by pointing something else to us. And I'm going to be reading this scripture. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, also groan to be released from pain and suffering. The whole world itself is groaning under pain of childbirth. Both believers, unbelievers, everyone, we are facing the same situation. The world is in pain. So for both believers and unbelievers, we are going through a difficult phase. For unbelievers, you will hear them, I don't even believe there's a God. If there's a God, why is everything so messed up? Why is the world like this? Why is everything so bad? If there's a God up there, what's he doing? I'm sure some of us have heard people say that before. Because the world is so chaotic, they believe this disorganization shows that there is no God. And for some people as well who used to be Christians, because of what they have been through, they've had a very difficult life. Some of them have turned their back to Jesus and say, I don't believe there is a God. Where was God when this was happening to me? Where was God? What was he doing when I was going through this? And for some people, they've turned their back and said, no, I don't believe there's a God. The Bible says, for we Christians, even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit, we Christians, although we have something very precious, we have something very unique, the Bible says, we also groan to be released from the pain. You know, when we see our brothers and sisters suffering, we feel like, God, what's happening? What's going on? This person is a servant of God. They love God. They are worshiping God. They are serving God with their best. Why are they going through all this? We're going to be released from the pain and suffering. But one thing also, God does not change. He is that ever faithful God. He is reliable. The purpose of this message, or what we are trying to speak about today, we're not focusing on challenges or suffering that come from sin or attacks of the enemy. That's not what we're trying to look at today. We're not focusing on that area. It is an important part of our Christian faith, but we're not focusing on that part today. So for people who are new to church, if you are new to church, if you are new to Christian faith, we are exploring something about our walk with God. The trials, those difficult phases that shapes our Christian walk, our journey of faith with God. That's what we are trying to unpack today. Though we have a very short time, I just believe God will help us to go through everything. So what we want to focus on today is those things that happen as we walk with Jesus. The challenges, those pains, those sufferings, those cries, those prayers that it seems God is not answering. You know, sometimes we pray to God about certain things and everywhere is just quiet and you feel like, are you there? Are you listening? Are you seeing this? Those are the things we want to explore today. And we want to look at the passage that David read for us. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the worker slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the weeds, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weed also grew. The farmer's worker went to him and said, sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from? An enemy has done this, the farmer exclaimed. Should we pull out the weeds, they asked. No, he replied. You will uproot the weeds if you do. We will be looking at, should I say, the characters or the people in this passage? And we're going to be looking at their own perspective about this. We start with the good seed, the wheat itself. We look at the servants, their response, and we look at what the master is actually saying. Please, if I'm speaking too fast, let me know. Let's start with the good seed. The Bible says the good seeds represent the people of the kingdom, the people of God. And if we read our Bible from Abraham to Jesus, we see the challenges the people of God face all the time. This week I've been listening to the book of Genesis and reading the story of Abraham. You know, there was a God. You know, when we read the Bible, we should read it as humans. Don't read it as it happened to them. Abraham asked God, he said, see, look at what he said to God. But Abraham replied, oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't have a son? You gave me everything. But when I was 75, you called me from my father's house. You said, go, I will show you a place. I obeyed. I followed you. It's been 24 years. Come on. It shows that this man has something to say. Why are you blessing me if you're not going to give me a son? This is a man crying out. He was honest with God. What is the point of all these blessings? Eliezer of Damascus is going to inherit all these things. This is a man that has walked with God faithfully. But at the point, the thorn, the pain, he cried to God. He said, come on, do something. What is the point of all these blessings? Another man, the Israelite, in the book of Deuteronomy, I think chapter 8, verse 3, God was talking to them there. He said, remember, for 40 years, before I move on to Israelite, I remember something about Abraham, just to give us a context. Lot, who was Abraham's nephew, was very young. He was a young man when they left their father's place together. This guy, Lot, had two children. And Abraham, his big uncle, still have no child. You can see how painful that must have been for Abraham. That I'm serving God. I love God. I'm obeying him. I'm doing everything he asked me to do. But here, my nephew had two children. He's living in my house. And I don't have a child. So when you see him talk to God like that, oh, sovereign God, what are you doing? What's the point of all these blessings? I want a son. I want a child. It could help us to understand the pain the people of God go through. The Israelite, God told them, for 40 years, I made you walk through the wilderness. You were thirsty, you were hungry. I led you through the wilderness so that I may humble you and know what and test you in order to know what was in your heart. So for 40 years, they had this cry, where is the promised land? We are just roaming about in this place. What's happening? Job. I'm not sure I need to tell us about what happened to Job. That man suffered. He suffered. He knew that man experienced what pain actually is. In a day, just in one day, he lost everything. Everything. If you have time, read the book of Job or listen to it. You'll see a man who is groaning in pain. He cried. What is happening? You know, that Bible passage, he said, what I've always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come true. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest. Only trouble comes. He's a man that love God. In fact, he was so proactive. Before his children commit sin, he has made sacrifice. He's a man that loved God. In fact, God boasted about him. But despite that, he still had to go through this. Now, it is important for us to see, we the good seed, we the people of God, to understand what we have been called unto. Now, to the other good seed I want us to look about, Brother Paul, Apostle Paul, or whatever you want to call him. In that passage that we read, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he started, he said, I was called up to paradise. I saw amazing things. Things that men are not allowed to say. What I saw there was just too beautiful that God said, you can't tell people yet. So this man experienced Jesus. He experienced paradise when he was still alive. When every one of us, none of us has been to paradise before, but this man went to paradise and came back. God showed him great things. But despite that, look at what he said. He said, because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Even though I was called up to paradise, even though I saw great revelation, even though I've walked with Jesus, even though I've been faithfully serving God, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Why? Why, God? This man is serving you. This man is doing everything right. What is God saying? What are you trying to achieve? Why are you making us go through all this? These are the questions that comes into our hearts sometimes. When we pray, when we ask God, what are you doing? Why is everything like this? You know, every one of us, or some of us, we have people we've been praying for years. And you feel like, why has things not changed? Is God answering prayers? Now, let's look at the perfect, the ultimate good seed, our Lord Jesus. I want us to read this Bible passage carefully. It says, while Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleading with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayer because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. Even though Jesus was God's son, even though he was a perfect being, the Bible says, while Jesus was here on earth, he cried. He offered prayers. He pleaded, the Bible says, with loud cry and tears. He pleaded with God. You know, when we read our Bible, and Jesus was saying I think it was in Matthew chapter 26, and he was praying, he said, Father, is it possible for me not to drink this cup? Is it possible for me not to experience this? But he said, not my will, let your will be done. So even our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, while he was here on earth, as a human being, the Bible says he cried, he pleaded with God. The question that should be coming up in your heart is, why is God doing all these things? Why did everyone have to go through this? We've traced Abraham, the Israelite, Job. If you look at everyone's story, everyone's experiences, it seems everyone has to go through something. What is God trying to do? What is the purpose? What is he trying to achieve? The Bible says here, in this way, God qualified him as a as a perfect high priest, and he became the author of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. Now, because pain in itself is not good, and we can see from the life of everyone that we have checked now, everyone is saying, God, take this away. I don't want to deal with it again. Come on, do something. Step in, help. Even our Lord Jesus, he prayed. Peter, Paul, he said, I pleaded with God 3 times. I pleaded with him. He said, I pleaded with God to take it away from me. Abraham prayed. Everyone, nobody wants to sit with pain. Now, because no one wants to sit with pain, as a good seed, we have looked at the seed perspective. We, the good people of God, we have seen our own side of it. Our pain can be very difficult. Let's look at what the servant says. As I said, we're looking at the seed perspective, the servant perspective, and the master's perspective. So we look at the seed now, the good seed, the people of God. Let's look at the servant. What's their own opinion? Should we pull out the weeds? They ask. Sir, you know, for the seed, it doesn't make sense why God is doing it. Why do you want the wheat? Why do you want thorn to be growing beside me? Why not just take it away? That's common sense. And that's what the servant came to tell the master too. Let's go out there and pull out the wheat, they asked. Let's just go there. That's the simple thing to do. That's the logical thing to do. You know, when our brethren, our brothers and sisters, our other people of God see us go through difficult phase, they pray for us. God, please stop punishing this person or whatever. God, rescue them. Deliver them. They came to Master, please do something. Do something for this person. Help them. And that was the prayer of compassionate friends. Our brothers and sisters, you know, when anyone is going through this thing, they pray for us. Are we saying that we should not pray? No. Are we saying that God does not answer prayer? Absolutely not. God does answer prayer. God wants us to be intercessors. God wants us to care about our fellow brothers and sisters. It seems I'm speaking too fast. Am I? Okay. If I'm speaking too fast, just let me know. I'll slow down. I'm just trying to catch up with time. Okay. So, God wants us to pray for our brothers and sisters. God wants us to support them. And that's why these people came, the servant came to the master. Should we go out there? This weed that is making life difficult for the good seed, let's go out there and pull it out. Now, this way it becomes so interesting. If I'm the master, I would say, yes, go and do it. But let's look at the story of a man who was so passionate to help, who was so zealous to help a fellow brother, Brother Peter. The Bible says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief, the priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter, being passionate, loving Jesus, cares about Jesus, responded. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus and said, never, Lord, it's not going to happen to you. He said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Whoa, I thought he was trying to help. Why are you calling him Satan? Peter cares about Jesus. He loved Jesus. And yeah, he was showing it that you can't die. That cannot happen to you. But Jesus turned around and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Whoa. What a difference. What is Jesus talking about? Peter is showing care. Peter shows that he cares about Jesus. And here, Jesus is saying, no, don't do that. Don't do that. I have to do this. I have to die. I have to be punished. You don't have, you know, the way another translation put it was that you're not thinking the way God thinks. You are looking at it from human point of view. You're not looking at it from God's point of view. So the servants were passionate to help. They wanted to help the wheat to grow, the good seed to grow. But it seems God has a different thing in mind. So what's God's plan? Let's look at what the master says then. God says, if you uproot the weed, if you say this thing is suffering too much, and let's take away the problem, the Bible says, you will uproot the wheat if you do. So, let both grow together until the harvest. Don't bother. Let the pain, let us go through this process. Let the wheat, even though it's a good seed, let it go through this process. If you try to take away this pain, you're going to damage something. You're going to rupture something. Something is going to go wrong. Now, there's a plan God has in mind for our lives. The Bible says all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. There's a plan he has set in place. And that part of that plan could mean going through difficult moments of life. And if something comes and say, let's take away that, there's a disruption. Let's look at Jesus. God's ultimate plan and the lived experience of a believer. I work in alcohol and drug as a counselor. And as part of our role, we have people who are, they call them lived experience advocates. They have been there before. They have used drugs for a while, for a long time. But now they have recovered. So as part of our counseling approach, as part of our treatment approach, sometimes we bring those people who have walked that journey to say, come alongside these clients. We will be doing counseling, we'll be doing therapy, but show them, tell them your own experience. Tell them how you recovered. Let them learn from you. Let them follow what you, tell them the strategies. For every believer, God, we must have a lived experience of our relationship with God. Let me share my own personal experience. It is a very touching topic for me, so I'm going to share something that is very personal to me. One of the things that I experienced that God taught me, I know what it means to be hungry, to be without food. I know what it means to eat people's leftover. I've been in a place where you go without food for a long time. So if someone comes to me now and say, Jeremiah, I'm suffering. I don't have food. Do you think I will understand how they feel? Definitely yes. Because I've been there. I know what it means to imagine. You know, there was a time in my life that I go to bed imagining that I'm eating so that I can sleep because there was no food. So my body is so weak, but I want to sleep and I'm hungry. So the only way I can sleep is by imagining myself eating. So with that, I'll be able to get some sleep. At that time of my life, how? I prayed. I cried. I feel like, God, what are you doing? I'm going to die. You've got to do something. Now, the reason why God had to take me through that process now is because he is preparing me for something. He's preparing me so that when someone else comes behind me, I can boldly tell them, God helped me. I believe he can help you as well. So whatever you are going through now, God is preparing you. There's a plan that when some people are coming behind you, some people will come that through your life, through our life, they will see it and say, the same God that helped this person, I believe that God can help me too. So when you sit with someone and share your experience that I've been in your position before, I know what it means to be in pain. When you share with them, it's not just about reading the Bible now. When you share your life with them, many will come to Jesus. Let's look at what the Bible says about Jesus. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many sons to glory. How did he do it? He chose to bring many people to himself. How did God do it? It was only right that he should make Jesus. The only way God felt it is best to bring many people to myself is to make Jesus. Jesus. He should make, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. Let me explain that briefly. Sorry. Oh my God, 10:27. What is the Bible saying there? God wanted to bring many children to himself. And he needed a plan. That plan involves Jesus going through a suffering. And it is through that suffering that many people will come to know God. So when Peter was saying, it shall not happen to you, you will not suffer, you will not die, Jesus saw what was happening. He just said, get behind me, Satan. That's not the plan. I have to suffer. Because many people, through my life, will come to God. So when God was doing this, the Bible says, it was only right. It was right for God to use that method. If God had used another method, maybe it wouldn't work. So to Jesus, he did not see God as doing something bad. He did not see that, oh, God is punishing me unnecessarily. It is just, it is right for God to do it. Because there's a better plan. There's something bigger coming. There's something more important that needs to happen. There's something more precious that needs to happen. So it is right for God to make me go through this. He did not see God as being wicked. He did not see God as being unjust, as being unfair to him. It was only right. It is right for God to do it this way. So for every one of us too, when you're going through a difficult phase and you are praying, I want you to think carefully. What are you doing, God? Is there something I need to be aware of? Is this pain that I'm going through, are there people coming behind me that through my life, through my testimony, through my experience, that was what we can bring them to yourself? So, for the disciples, for the servant, take away the weed. Let's uproot those pain. Might seems like the right thing. It seems like that's the right thing to do. It seems like that's the logical thing to do. But something is going to be lost. Now, for those of us that are going through pain and going through this process, it is not easy. I don't want us to pretend like we are angels, like, oh, I'm okay, I'm fine. No! It is not easy when we're going through a difficult phase of life. It is not easy. What did Paul say? He said, I pray to God. I pleaded with him 3 times. Take this away. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. We can't explain grace today. We will not have time to go into what it means to have grace. Grace itself, it's like, let me put it this way, in a simple way. Let's say I'm going to the 25th floor of a building, and there's a staircase, and there's an elevator. Grace is that elevator. You don't need to do anything. What do you need to do? You just step into it, and it carries you. But let's say you want to use your energy, and you go through the staircase. How many minutes do you think it's going to take you to get to the 25th floor? It's going to take a while. Even by the time you get there, you're going to feel it. The grace of God makes things easy. So when Paul was praying, take this pain away, God said, no, that's not the prayer you should be praying. I will give you grace. That throughout this process, you will know that I'm with you. You will not see it as a punishment. You will see that I am with you in this. You're going to, he said, when Paul was saying, I rejoice in it, he said, I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. I rejoice in it because there is something that is there with me, and that's the grace of God. The grace of God helps me that I look beyond all these difficulties. I can see the bigger picture. That's what grace does. It makes your journey with God easy. There's a harvest. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 to 16 to 18. If in the process of grace, as you are working with God, it seems it is difficult, I just wanted to assure you that there's an harvest coming up. The Bible says, this is why we never give up. Even though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet, they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them all and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Two reassurance. There's a place of grace, and there's a harvest coming up. That harvest could mean a phase of life where you look back and say, thank God I went through that process while you are still here in the body. But it could mean, you know, in that passage we read, he told them, wait until harvest. Sorry. I'm not sure I can find it again. I'll just leave it. He said, wait until harvest. Don't uproot it. There's harvest coming up. Let them grow together. God is saying, there's a harvest coming up. And that should reassure our heart that whatever we are going through now, it is temporary. It is just for a moment. And what? The glory that comes outweighs it all far, far, far. There is much more that God is going to do through our life. As we wrap up, I will read this passage from Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. And this is an encouragement for every one of us. Paul said here, he said, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ help me, this will lead to my deliverance. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Jesus, to honor to Christ, whether I live or I die. Paul is saying, I don't care. As long as my life brings honor to Jesus, as long as Jesus can look at my life, as long as God can look at my life and said, everything I want to do with this person's life, I accomplish all my purpose. Everything I set out to do with your life was achieved. That's what Paul was saying. He said, I trust that my life will bring honor to Jesus. That Jesus will take glory over my life. That Jesus will be honored over my life. Whether I harvest in the body or harvest when I see him. And that's God's word to us today. That what? Who will take the glory? Will you let the servants uproot the weed and in the process stop what God is doing? Or will you say, I will wait? I will wait till the harvest. I know there is something that can help me, and that's the grace of God. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we want to thank you. For we know that you love us so much. You are not a wicked God. You are not a wicked God. We know that. And when you make us go through difficult situations, we believe it's because you are trying to make our life better. It is right for you. You are not unjust. You are not unfair, God. Please, Jesus, we just want to ask for grace for everyone going through a difficult phase of life. Everyone struggling. Everyone doing it tough. Crying. Secretly, quietly. Saying this pain is too much. This situation needs to change. Lord, we pray for grace. We pray for grace. That you will pour out your grace upon every soul, every individual, every family. That we will enjoy the grace of God. Lord Jesus, we pray that your mighty hand will rest upon us. That Jesus will be honored, will be glorified in our body. That Jesus will be glorified over our life. That you will look at our life and you say, everything I want to do with your life, I achieve it. That nothing will interrupt your process. Nothing will stop what you want to do with our life. We thank you for your faithful, our dear God. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Welcome to the music team.